communist governments boast. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but it is one of the characteristics of all communist governments that they keep careful records, not only of those whom they have liquidated, but they keep account of every day's misery. There is a fiendish bookkeeping that goes on among these people to describe the tortures that they have inflicted. They take delight, indeed, in photographing this. They do this not only because, as I say, they mean to use these statistics to terrorize their prospective victims, but also simply because there is this satanic element in it, that they are worse than simply cruel and heartless. They are subject and typical of the devil's influence. They enjoy it. They do more than is necessary. They do it when it is troublesome to do it. That is, to inflict such mind-chilling and bone-thrilling agony that we can hardly read it without feeling frightened by it. Again, I remind you that our politicians dare not speak of this if they want to get the money to run for their campaigns. And those in office dare not make an issue of this, because they will immediately be attacked not only by the news media, which is controlled by these conspirators, but even by their contraries as being against détente, as being warmongers. In fact, there is hardly any greater sin of charity than to call these beasts what they are. And to make matters even worse, all of this nowadays has the blessing of the Catholic Church and indeed of the Holy Father. The Holy Father welcomes these butchers. He welcomes them and gives them also special diplomatic recognition and courtesy. He protects by his silence their cruelty, and indeed, as in the case of Cardinal Manzenti, he strikes out those who identify and oppose them. He strikes out at them. Worse, he is now presiding over the deliberate distortion of Catholic doctrine to where people are being taught that that which is Marxist, that which is communistic, that which is contrary, deliberately, and even satanic, is Christian. This is the ultimate. When the Catholic Church has been taken over by those who promote Satanism and Satan's rule in the world, promoted through books they call catechisms, through the pulpits, and even raised to places in the hierarchy those who show sympathy with this ungodly and devilish system. It is so horrible that, as I say, no man could have imagined, except some visionary, that we would ever live in this era. And so great has the tide of bloodthirstiness, wickedness, and evil in all of its dimensions risen that it is not surprising that many have lost their faith. Many have indeed abandoned their belief in God, thinking that there must not be one. St. Paul, however, with not only the scholars' collectiveness, but also with the visionary's faith, teaches us that we are to see to ourselves and not be perturbed. He says that we simply gird ourselves with truth, because, as you know, it is falsity which is the mark of the devil's work. It is his stock in trade. If you adhere to the truth, you will not be ground under, even if you have to suffer. Having put on the breastplate of justice, having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, in all things taking up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And finally says, take to yourself the helmet of salvation, which is to say, your eyes must be on your eternal destiny. It is because men have ceased to fear that they might be lost, and have allowed themselves to fall into the false creed of social gospelism, that they have made this world a kingdom to itself, and they have forgotten that they will live forever, either in heaven or hell, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, flesh and blood, but is with principalities and powers. In other words, he makes the point that we are not simply dealing with wicked men. We are dealing with beings whose power is immeasurably greater than ours. So that truly, without Christ and his grace, we simply are no match for them at all. In fact, if anything, we are utterly contemptible to them because of our puniness, the total non-existence in their eyes of any power of our own without divine grace. Furthermore, it is most important for us to keep in mind that the demons have no regard for us as creatures. Their antipathy toward us derives from the fact that we have been baptized and we stand to have their places in heaven. There is a great likelihood in our cases that we might reign with the great luminous angels of heaven and the saints. You must always bear in mind that the angels are not like us, distracted. They are never off duty. They never have any interest in their own pleasure, since, of course, they are victims of total misery in hell. We must understand also that the fallen angels are under a very strict and slavish discipline to Satan himself. People have the idea that when they go to hell, they will be thrown in some kind of cell where they will burn away but never be consumed. It is not quite so. You must understand that we are either going to serve God or Satan, and in either case we will do the bidding of God or Satan. And if we are saved, doing the bidding of God will be our delight, our eternal joy. But we will do the bidding of Satan if we are lost, and serving him will be his only delight, receiving our services, watching us suffer, and taunting us for our folly. But it will be a slavery, and the fallen angels are subject to this merciless tyrant. This is his only boast and his only claim, that all in his kingdom serve him faithfully and totally slavishly. I want to make the point as strongly as I can this evening that Satan now rules almost unencumbered in the world. There has never been an age, for instance, where the law so protects evil, and the law, which is supposed to be the exercise of divine righteousness in the world and the protection of good people against those who are evil. In the days of the revolution, the law serves only those who are wicked and the tyrants who mean to enslave and indeed to damn. It is necessary for us to remember that there are certain aspects of the international conspiracy which reveal that it is not simply a world empire, but rather that it is satanic, both in its motivation and in its control. There are certain evil things about it that we can discern as being particularly satanic. Keep in mind that just as a saint or an angel lives only for God's good pleasure and to fulfill His will, those who are damned, particularly the fallen angels, live only to do that which is contrary to that which is good and divine. As you have been told, I'm sure, and maybe you recall, evil has no character of itself. It has no positive existence. Goodness has an existence in God. God is goodness. That which is not God, that which is simply not good, is a nothing. So that we define evil as that which is contrary to the divine law. That which is contrary. The Satan's name means the adversary. He lives only to oppose. He has nothing of his own self. Everything he defines as being evil, that which he desires, is determined by God's goodness. So that you discern that which is evil or that which is diabolical in that which is gratuitously and needlessly bad. Let me make this point. You can see signs of the devil in that which is deliberately and needlessly cruel, that which is voluntarily gruesome, grotesque, or hideous. The sign of the devil is that which is distorted, that which is off-center, that which is needlessly not only wicked, but extremely so. For instance, in our society, one of the most wicked of all the crimes that takes place is that of abortion. Because in exact proportion to the innocence, to the loveliness, to the sweetness and attractiveness of a child, an unborn child indeed, in exact proportion to that child's nature, abortion is the devil's own work, which wants not only to destroy this child, but in the process of destroying it, tears it apart, and in doing so, inflicts such horrible punishment, or rather pain upon this child, that were we to see the grimaces and the torments that the child goes through, we would undoubtedly murder the abortionist on the spot. There is a particularly satanic elements in abortion, which now, as you know, is not only protected by the law, but which now even the law givers are complaining. Certain hospitals are refusing abortions. This is now going to be a subject of legal recrimination, that hospitals dare to refuse women's abortions. As I was saying, there is a particularly satanic element in abortion in that the child is never given the opportunity for baptism and therefore never can have an opportunity for heaven. In this respect, the American government already is much worse than all that Hitler's Germany is accused of being. Because never did such a thing occur in Nazi Germany. Even in communist countries, about which I'm going to say something in a moment, abortion is not permitted, except in certain instances. But it is not encouraged, advertised, and funded by the people's money, and no one can stop it. And to make things even worse, that the bishops of this country are silent about it, to all intents and purposes, and the Pope himself makes practically nothing of it. This is only an extreme crime, and it is only a preparation for what we can expect more of. More grotesque and cold-blooded murders. I might mention to you three things are particularly the sign and the handiwork of Satan, and that is murder, falsehood, and sacrilege. And in this age, these three are so rife that men generally are callous to them. With respect to our society, let me give you further signs of the Satan's dominance. In all the areas of the fine arts, you find that where the arts should produce beauty, they produce that which is ugly, and they call it beauty, and they even try to teach our children that that which is disfigured, distorted, and distended, they must learn to like, so that their own psyches, their own aesthetic senses, must be twisted, so that they are taught to like that which their natures are repelled by. This explains why they have to be taught to like acid rock, as they call it. Deliberate, hideous, and repellent sounds they are taught, and they can be taught to like them, not because they do, but because they are told that they should, and because their crowd exerts a pressure upon them to do so. In other areas of art, for instance, our museums are full of what is called modern or contemporary art. It is nothing but ugliness, nothing but altogether unintelligible distortion, and men pay thousands to encourage this. In the area of music, that which is nothing but noise is what we must listen to. It serves as background for horror pictures, and that which nature naturally finds revulsive, this is now called entertainment. In the drama of today and other storylines, he who is evil, he who is criminal, he who is ruthless is the hero. And he is even given the name of the anti-hero. And yet, we are taught to extol him and to honor him, and the entertainment industry glorifies him, even the more if he is altogether amoral in his private life. With regard to our government policy, we ought to know and never forget that the power behind the international communist conspiracy, both the money as well as the control, is not in Russia. That is only a power and military base. It is in this country, and it is the American government, which is the greatest strength and promoter of the international tyranny that is communism. So that everything that is now taking place in communist countries is funded by the American taxpayers and is protected by the American government. An example of this, of course, is the fact that the administrations, now four and five administrations, have regarded the communist governments as favored nations, so that they underwrite all trade and gifts to these countries so that their despotism can continue.